Good morning. Welcome you to Hinckley United Reformed Church this morning for our service. But before we engage in the service, I just want us to take us a moment, or us to take a moment and reflect on the crisis in the Holy Land and pray silently for God to intervene in that situation, because things are not looking very well. And there is hope. There is hope, because we believe in a God that is able to intervene in a situation. And that's what we can do as a church this morning, to take a moment and talk to God about it. God of peace and hope, we pray for the leaders of this world and the leaders of Israel and Palestine and Hamas, for wisdom and for consideration of the vulnerable, the poor, the defenseless. We pray that you calm the hearts and the minds and the egos of the leaders in times such as this. We look to you for a solution. We look to you for guidance. Challenge us as your people, and challenge the leaders of this world to do the right thing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We may be seated.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to this service, during which we will commission our newly appointed outreach worker, Paul Wake, and welcome him and his wife, Kate, into our fellowship. After the worship, there will be a faith lunch to which you are all invited. If you haven't put your name down on the list, don't worry. There will be enough for everyone. It is a faith lunch. Rachel has asked me to say that she would appreciate it if you don't rush out to the rear hall after the service. The Sprouts finish their session at 12 noon, and afterwards the room will have to be prepared for the lunch. So enjoy your cup of tea or coffee in here and have a chat. Andrew and the elders would love to have more people serving on the eldership. And this has been mentioned on the last two Sundays, I know, but please pray and consider who you might approach and ask if they are willing to stand. Is God calling you to serve? There is information available, together with forms, on the table by the staircase. News of the family. We are sad to have lost two of our church members recently, Sue Doherty and Nanette Stribling, and we remember their bereaved families in our prayers. Both funerals will be held here in this church. Sue's is on Wednesday the 25th at 12:30 p.m. Nanette's is on the next day, Thursday the 26th at 2:30. And these dates are shown on the screen notices. Some of you will be aware that Penny and Farong are moving to the Tenby area, which is where Penny's parents live. Farong has already started work there, and Penny is still in their home in Quenneborough. Pray for them as they sort out their move and look for a new house. Please also keep in your prayers Kathy, who is in Glenfield Hospital, and Julie, who is also in hospital, and others who are not well or being cared for, plus those who care for them. And some good news, Betty's eye operation was very successful, and she is over the moon with what she can now see. So we thank God for that, Betty. And now, Paul, you'd like to say a few words, is that right? Yeah.
We have a plaque above the church entrance as we come in to the worship room saying, "Come to me." And some of you may have met John, who visited with us last week. He visited on several occasions. John was sleeping homeless, and he was making his way from Merseyside to London, and as you do, went via Hinckley. There's probably various reasons for that. But one of the things that struck me, and really that we need to look at as a church, is there are some excellent services in the town to refer people to. And obviously, we have things like the Help in Action, Hope in Action as well. And we've got the Salvation Army just down the road. But the Salvation Army isn't open 24 hours a day. And some people, for whatever reason, for every person that has to sleep on the streets, there's a different reason. And for some, it's because there's a mistrust of authority, even the Salvation Army. So we as a church need to be prepared. So what I'd like us to do is to stack four rucksacks that we can keep and distribute as needed. We can just keep them just in the foyer, in the vestibule. So perhaps we could call them Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And I'd like us as a church, not specifically to go out and buy things to stock these rucksacks, but see what you have in your cupboards. See if there's any old rucksack that you're not using anymore. See if you have any relatives that aren't your kids, if it's a reasonable size rucksack. So we can stock these rucksacks up with torches, some provision, hygiene supplies, and a copy of the Bible. And one of the ways that I'd like to raise some of the funds to cover this is... Sorry, Kate, would you just pass me one of those apple bottles? Quite a few of us started using the bottles. They're a lot better for the planet, and they keep the water nice and cold a lot longer. So what I'd like to do is, if we can have perhaps some church-branded water bottles that we can distribute in these rucksacks. So we're giving out water, but really we're giving out living water. So I'll be putting a notice up for anybody that's interested in purchasing one of the water bottles, and there'll be an extra contribution towards equipment for the equipment of these rucksacks. And I'll also be putting a box just in the corridor, in the side entrance, where people can just bring supplies in. I'll put a list of supplies that we need, torches, spare batteries, all sorts of products that we can use. But my first thought would be, just check the cupboards, see what the Lord's already provided, and we'll use those. Okay, thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Paul and Christine. Psalm 106 reads, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praises?" And I think it's us that are called by God to sing praises and to declare his mighty for the things that he does for us and for the things that he promises to do for us in his word and the things that we hope and believe he is going to do for us. And for that, we are gathered here to praise him. And that's the focus probably I want to encourage us, that we are gathered here because of God. And the center of our attention this morning is God. And we focus on praising him and declaring his mighty acts in our lives. And as we are able, we stand together and we declare his praises. As we sing two hymns, which is "Amazing Grace" and "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind."
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for your love, which endures forever. We thank you for your patience with us when we don't get it. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your long suffering with us. We give you thanks for who you have been to us as your people. We thank you for you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And through his death, we received eternal life. We thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you have sent to us so that he may guide us, teach us, direct us, comfort us, assure us, prompt us to follow you and your direction. We thank you because you have never left us to be on our own as orphans, but you have sent the Comforter to be alongside us. And for that, we are thankful. Thank you for the support we give one another as your people, as a congregation. Thank you for those that tirelessly work in the life, for the life of this local church. We give you praise. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us as a local church. Thank you for each and every one of us as individuals and everything that we bring. Thank you for the plans that you have for us as individuals and as a church. We glorify your name, for we know that you have a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to teach us and to build us and to partner with us in your mission. And for that, we are thankful. Amen. This morning, we are privileged to have the commissioning of Paul's work as our outreach worker. And for those of us that know the long road that we have walked to get to where we are now, those of us that know the time we invested in prayer and fasting and conversations and talking and seeking, and the Lord has been faithful and the Lord has taken us this far. And we are going to officiate or commission Paul Work as our outreach worker. And it's something that we are marking today as a congregation. And I want to make this clear with us that it's not a commissioning that I am doing as minister, but I happen to preside over it. But it's a commissioning you are doing as a local church. You are commissioning Paul Work to lead you, to help you, to infuse you, and to work alongside us as we do the business of the church, which is to reach out and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we want to do this morning. And Paul has asked us to, or asked me to, read from Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. And Paul writes, and he says, This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What we have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. What God has entrusted us, we are called to guard that. I would ask Paul to come up front, please. I can provide you with a seat. It is. Through the baptism, members of the church are called to serve in the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ by what they say and how they live. Some are called and appointed to support the wider work of the church and the witness of the United Reformed Church through the life of the local church. Today, according to the decision and appointment process of the Hinckley United Reformed Church, we are to commission Paul's work as an outreach worker. The Lord Jesus Christ continued his ministry in and through the church, the whole people of God, called and committed to his service, to equip them for this ministry and the wider church, for its ministry. God gives calls some to exercise their gifts in the outreach work and the witness of the church. The outreach worker helps to equip the church in the missional discipleship and growth and to facilitate the sharing of the good news, practices and opportunities across the town and beyond, and the whole life of discipleship ethos as the heart of his work. Paul's work does not stand alone, but as a servant of the Hinckley United Reformed Church, so it is right that we commission him within this church meeting as all inductions and commissions, we share in the statement and nature of faith and order of the United Reformed Church. This will be read to us by Christine Thomas, who is the church secretary. And we also have a part in responding with the letters in bold as the statement of faith is shared. That is in gold, and we respond together.
With the whole Christian church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The living God, the only God ever to be praised.
The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together.
We acknowledge the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace.
The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for his people today through the help of the Spirit.
We respond to his word, whose servants we are with all God's people through the years.
We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness of the Catholic faith in the Apostles and the Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own traditions by the Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. Faith alive and active, gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation. We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in the forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed, but we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ.
Our crucified and risen Lord, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection.
Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the right of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace.
We commit ourselves to speak the truth in love, to grow together in the peace of Christ.
We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In the things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief.
While we ourselves are servants in the world as citizens of God's eternal kingdom.
We affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way that Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise him more and more forever.
Source, guide, and goal of that is, to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Paul Weck, do you affirm your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
In dependence on God's grace, do you reaffirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and your promise to follow him and to see and to do and to be his will all the days of your life?
I do.
Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments descend under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is the supreme authority for the faith and conduct of all God's people?
I do.
Do you accept the roles assigned to you in the Hinckley United Reformed Church, and do you promise to serve faithfully?
I do.
Bound together in Christ, I invite all sharing in this church meeting to respond with confidence and acclaim to the promise that follows. Do you, members of the Hinckley United Reformed Church, accept and receive Paul Weck to serve in the role of outreach worker to which he has been appointed?
We do.
Will you encourage him and respond to his work among us, acknowledging that his offer comes to us from God? Let's pray together. Generous and sustaining God, You have called us to belong to you as daughters and sons. You have called us to serve in your world and to live as those who are filled with your life and your love, thus declaring the truth about you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We do this best through the community, so you call us to belong to your church. So this morning we pray for Paul Work, whom you have called and we commissioned to serve this church and the community around us. We pray that you will sustain Paul in his role. You will fill him with your Holy Spirit continually, renewing and refreshing his love, his courage, and his vision. May we all grow up into the fullness of Christ as we serve you together, and our life increasingly reflecting the life of Jesus Christ, in whom we believe. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare you, Paul Work, commissioned to serve as outreach worker, and welcome you to this role. May God bless you and strengthen you for the work, and may you find joy in God's service. The one who calls you is faithful. Amen. On behalf of the elders, the church secretary will welcome Paul Work into his role, and Paul Work's manager, line manager, David, will do so. We are honored to have you, and we pray that you will enjoy your service here with us. Amen. You could just collect your Bible and give us the reading. Thank you.
The reading is taken from Matthew 28, from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, and draw us closer to you. Help us to understand what you are saying to us through your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The great commission that Jesus gives to the church before he ascended into heaven. And he wanted the disciples to understand that their mission was as they go by, if you were to go back to the Greek context, as you go by doing your day-to-day business, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, or in other words, everything that I have taught you in these 3.5 years that I have been with you. I want you to take this mission to the next generation and spreading the gospel. And that is the business of the church, that we have been called to engage with the Great Commission. We have been called by God and ordained by God that we share the gospel of hope and of love, and the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and it's all inclusive, this commission, that whosoever, short, tall, black or white, maroon, pink, whatever color, height they are the business of the church, is to engage with those people. And Jesus says, I am with you until the end of the age. So in this mission, or in this great commission, we are not on our own. Jesus has promised to be with us. But when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, some of them doubted, but some of them worshipped him. Those that had grasped what Jesus was on about, those that understood who Jesus was, they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And this is key, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Jesus. And therefore, if we are to engage in the Great Commission, the key for us as church is to make sure that we are connected to the one who has got the authority. Our accomplishment or our ability to achieve that which God has commissioned us to achieve is dependent on our relationship with Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Church cannot engage effectively with the Great Commission without themselves or ourselves being connected to the author of the Great Commission. The link, the connection between us and Jesus is paramount. Our relationship with him is important if we are to engage with the Great Commission. How do we develop the relationship that I'm talking about? By making sure we invest time with him, spending time engaging with Jesus, the Master, being able to hear what he is prompting us to do. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. But we need to be close enough to him to hear his voice when he speaks to us. Not only to hear, but for us to be able to respond and be active in what he's commanding us to do. We have to be close enough to him. We have to be tuned enough or tuned in on him if we are to engage in the Great Commission. For those of us that have got hearing aids, if you don't switch them on, then you are not going to be able to hear. And for those of us that have got one strong side of the ears able to hear than the other one, you have to attune to the side that you are able to hear. And it is important for us as church that we tune ourselves to the mind of Christ. Because God is already engaging in the community out there, and it is our responsibility to tune in with God so that we may hear where God is already making noises. And then it is our responsibility to join in there with God and engage and partner with him. But if our ears are not tuned in to hear what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do, then we miss the mark. We may remain here praying and calling out on the name of the Lord, yet God is already working and is calling us to engage where he is already working. It is important, it is paramount, if the church is to be effective, that we in tune ourselves to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, guiding of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And if we don't engage ourselves with the voices of the Holy Spirit, we will miss the mark. And this is difficult, but it is possible to listen and to hear what God is prompting us. And as we engage with the mission of God, as we work alongside with Paul, it is important for us as church to discern what God is saying to us and to listen and to have conversations and to share what God is saying to you as an individual, that we as a church can do and engage together. And one of the things that we sometimes miss as church is one of us has what God is saying to us, and the person does not have the courage or the opportunity to share with us as church to say, this is what I'm hearing God is saying. And we can continue. If we are not hearing, we can continue going on our own direction, thinking that we are okay, yet God has spoken to our brother and sister for us to change direction, and the brother and the sister may not share with us to change course, and we miss the mark. We have a responsibility together as a body of Christ to hear and to discern what God is saying to us as church. And sometimes we are not very good at listening to what God is saying, because we always and sometimes appear as if we know what we need to do, what we are supposed to do. But God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can be guided, we can be prompted, we can be directed. But are we willing to hear his voice, or we want to hear what we want to hear and not what God is saying? So having a relationship with the one who has commissioned us is paramount, and listening to his voice as he speaks to us, and knowing that the Great Commission is about sharing the gospel to all nations, all people. And sometimes we miss the inclusiveness of God that you see throughout the Bible. Even when the children of Israel left Egypt, God spoke to them and he says, if you apply the blood of the lamb on your doorpost, the angel of death will pass over your house. And when God delivered the children of Israel, there were also other Egyptians that listened or hearkened to God's voice, and they applied the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, there were also some Egyptians that God delivered, and they walked with Israel. You hear Moses being commanded by God in the wilderness to circumcise those who were not Egyptians. And God has always been inclusive of other people, other races, and not for us to just look at ourselves as a certain group of people, as middle class, white people or black people or whatever color we are. We have to engage with the mission and understanding that the mission is all inclusive, all people of all nations. And that is the Great Commission that God has called us. Not just because of color and creed, but God has also called us to reach those that are disadvantaged, the poor, the vulnerable. We don't have to always look for the working class, for the rich. We have to also engage the poor, those that are struggling in our societies, and sharing the gospel with them. And it is important for us that as a church, as we engage in the Great Commission, we are inclusive. We engage with people. Yes, I know there are certain people that we are easily inclined to talk to, but we have to remind ourselves it's not about what we are inclined to do, but it is about Him who has sent us, and His guidance is that we reach all nations and making sure that they receive the gospel. And it's our responsibility. It's my responsibility to reach out to the poor. It's my responsibility to reach out to the disadvantaged, to the elderly, to the young, to the energetic. It's our responsibility as a church. Reaching out with the gospel indiscriminately, engaging with the people. And unless we are willing to engage with the people, then we are ignoring our mandate as church. Our responsibility, our mandate is to share the gospel. Is it easy to share the gospel? Sometimes we find ourselves struggling, but the best way we can do when it comes to sharing the gospel is sharing what God has done for us. What is it that God has done for you in your life as a Christian? Has God changed you in any way? And if God has changed you, then that is the starting point. If God is doing something, that is a starting point that you can share with somebody about God. And probably the other question we could ask is, God changing you in any way or form? And if the answer is no, then there is a struggle. Then we would have to work on you experiencing the change of your life through Jesus Christ. And then you can be able to share the gospel. It is our responsibility. It is not just the responsibility of the minister or outreach worker. Because now we have commissioned an outreach worker, then we can chill and sit and do nothing and just hope that this church will be filled. It is our responsibility. Together, we partner together with the minister, we partner together with the outreach worker, we partner together with the elders, and above all, we partner with the Holy Spirit so that we can engage in the mission, sharing the gospel. And Jesus assured us, and He says, "And lo, I am with you until the end of the age." So it's not dependent on only on your competence or on your abilities, but it is dependent on the ability of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had made sure that He would not leave us on our own devices, but He has sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to walk alongside us as we engage in the Great Commission. We are not alone. Yes, we may feel intimidated, we may feel insignificant, we may feel not able to be orators of the gospel. But all God is asking us to do is, as we go by doing our day-to-day business, shopping, swimming, doing exercises, walking, let us talk about the love of God that He has shown to us and share it with the people that we engage with in our day-to-day life. Amen. We will have prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, in a world where many countries are being torn apart by war and violence, we pray for peace, a peace which can only be found in You. What we see in the news alarms and distresses us. The violent actions of aggressors is causing unbearable suffering and mental torment to those involved, and we find it hard to accept that human beings can behave like this, and it may make us ashamed to be human. In our humanity, Lord, forgive us, Lord, and make us more like you. We do not know how these complex situations can be resolved, and we pray, Lord, that you will intervene. We pray for world leaders and governments who have difficult decisions to make, and we ask that you will make yourselves known to them, that they will be guided by you and by people of faith and by their sense of responsibility as servants of those over whom they have power and influence. We pray also that all peoples of the world will act to stop the destruction of our planet. We pray for wisdom and the will to make things happen and the will to support those who are most in need. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for this church fellowship and the community in which we are placed to serve you. We give thanks to you for all that we have through knowing you and your love for us. We pray for those who are struggling with the pain of bereavement and give thanks for those that they and we have lost and for their lives and service to others. We bring before you all those in our fellowship who need your strength, comfort, and healing power in their lives at the moment. May the presence of your Holy Spirit bring them peace that they need. Today especially we give thanks for Paul, our outreach worker, and his wife Kate, as they are welcomed into our fellowship. We pray for your blessing on them and on their ministry here. And this prayer is adapted from the words of a well-known hymn. Lord, speak to us that we may be the living echoes of your voice as we speak to others. May we seek out, as Jesus did, those who have wandered away from you. Lead us, Lord, so that we can lead others in your footsteps. Feed us, Lord, so that we can feed those who are hungry for your word. Give us strength, Lord, so that we can stand firm and strong in you and reach out in love to those who are struggling with life's issues. Teach us, Lord, so that we can in turn teach others the wisdom that we glean from you. Give our words wings to reach the hidden depths of the hearts that need you. Give us rest, Lord, so that we can speak soothing words at the right time and in the right place to those who are weary. Fill us with your fullness, Lord, until our hearts overflow, so that we can praise you and tell others of your love for them. Use us, Lord, each one of us, as you will, wherever and whenever we can be useful, until that time when we see your blessed face and can rest in you and in your glory. Amen.
We stand up as we are able and prepare our hearts for communion as we sing together. Here is the bread. Rob. I'm asking Paul to serve communion with us, probably as a proclamation of the servanthood amongst us. And the United Reformed Church, through communion almost, reminds us that leaders are not lords, but elders or leaders save us, and we model this through communion. It is the Lord Jesus himself who invites us to see in broken bread and poured out wine symbols of his death for us on the cross. We come because the door is open wide and a place is prepared for us, and we are hungry to receive his forgiveness, his mercy, and his love. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to your table trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. You call us saints, yet we continue to sin through disobedience, through resistance, and sometimes negligence. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs from under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. Therefore, gracious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask forgiveness for our sins and for your Holy Spirit to work within us and making us more like Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, unite us with the whole wide household of God. Enable us to reach across the years and to receive from the hands of Jesus the gifts that he offers to each and every one of us. And we join together saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's pray together. We give thanks to you, O God, that from the earth you cause grain to come for the making of bread. We praise you for Jesus Christ, the bread of life, whose body was broken. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit, that we may confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. May the bread which we break be to us the communion of the body of Christ, and may we be made one in him. As of old you fed your people in the wilderness, so feed us now, that we may live to your praise, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Bread will come to us as Christ comes to where we are, and we hold on to it, and we will eat together. Go first. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him or her, he or her will bear much fruit." Let's pray. We give thanks to you, O God, that you cause the vine to yield fruit. We bless you for Jesus Christ, who is the true vine, whose blood was poured out for us. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit, that we may remain in Christ and bear fruit that shall last. May the cup which we bless be to us the communion of the blood of Christ, purifying us from all our sins, and as we share in the suffering of Christ, so give us grace that we may know the power of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he gave the cup to the disciples and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that while we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you as living sacrifices for your glory, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We stand up as we are able, and we sing our closing hymn, and offerings will be collected. We sing together, Lord, your church on earth is seeking. Praise you for your people and the works of their hands. May they prosper in the city and prosper in the country. To the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go by, living our day-to-day life, let's remember to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe what Christ has taught us. We share together grace.
May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.